When things feel a bit chaotic, Instacart helps deliver milk and sausage. Add a little life to your cart. Get stuff from literally all your stores, from baby wipes to albacore. Add a little life to your cart. Instacart helps get your groceries. Your first three deliveries are free.
Download Instacart. Add life to cart. Terms apply.
Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course streaming on YouTube. 855-212-4CBS is number to jump on in, 855-212-4227, and you could always get at me on Instagram where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Got Moist Mike and also Stuart Kovacs rocking and rolling with me, jamming out all the way up until 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Nicole Auerbach, college football insider for The Athletic at NBC, is going to stop by at 5:20 p.m. Eastern, 2:20 p.m. Pacific. And we actually start the show today with a little college football news, I guess, where we have been to this point before with Michigan and Jim Harbaugh in the last month or two, where it looks like they are inching closer and closer and closer to reaching a long-term extension. Now, there's three different reports out there, all pretty much say similar things, but there are some different wording in all three of those reports. John U. Bacon, who wrote a book about Harbaugh and the Michigan football program, has unprecedented access to the Michigan football program. He says that Michigan's AD Ward Manuel, UM's leaders and lawyers are finalizing Harbaugh's contract. It's a five-year deal, $55 million, which will make him the highest paid coach in the Big Ten, as promised weeks ago. The ball is now in Harbaugh's court. So that's report number one. Report number two from Dan Wetzel. Contract negotiations between Michigan and Jim Harbaugh are ongoing, including an extension at just under $11 million per year. However, industry sources tell Yahoo Sports a deal is not imminent and there is still work to be done. And then this one, I think, is the most important one, where it once again, this is from the Wolverine, says Michigan and Jim Harbaugh are working towards an extension that would include an $11 million annual salary. As first reported by the Wolverine, the contract could include Harbaugh not being able to entertain NFL jobs before the 2024 season. I will just ask this simple question. Let's say that this goes down the road that it looks like it's trending towards, that Jim Harbaugh is going to get a new contract, an extension with Michigan, and let's say that NFL clause is in there where he can't entertain NFL jobs this offseason. Is he making the right decision? And part of me wants to say, yeah, I respect it. You're staying at Michigan. You're giving the middle finger to the NCAA, and you're saying, bring on whatever sanctions and whatever punitive action you're going to bring my way. But I can't fully go there, even though, and I'll be abundantly clear when I say this, I want Michigan to keep Jim Harbaugh. I want Jim Harbaugh to stay at Michigan because I think it's great for college football. Because fair or not, and I don't really think he is a villain, but he has kind of taken that villainous role this year, and you have the entire Big Ten, all the other whining coaches, they're annoyed at Jim Harbaugh, and it creates a fun rivalry going with, let's say, Ryan Day and Jim Harbaugh, and James Franklin and Jim Harbaugh as well, and you get through whatever the suspension is that's coming down the turnpike, and away you go, you continue to dominate and kick ass and take names inside the Big Ten. So part of me wants to see that happen. And I would love to see that happen. But I can't say that this is the right decision. Because the last 2 years, whether it's contract related or not, it has appeared like Jim Harbaugh has done everything in his power to try to get himself back in the NFL. A place where, by the way, let me add, in 4 years as an NFL head coach, he went to 3 NFC title games and a Super Bowl with the San Francisco 49ers. So don't tell me that Jim Harbaugh isn't deserving of a second job in the NFL. He is. And the last 2 years, the Minnesota Vikings expressed interest in him. They did an interview. It was like 12 hours. I don't care if you are in contract negotiations trying to get more money out of Michigan. There is not a chance in you know what, with however you want to play out these negotiations, that you would sit in an interview room for over 10 hours and not want the job. So I thought 2 years ago, Harbaugh wanted the job. And then when he didn't get the Vikings job and he tried to put the toothpaste back in the tube, he went out and publicly said, this won't be a yearly flirtation with the NFL. That was his words, not mine. Then the following year, it didn't seem like the interest was there. You know, some people linked him maybe to the Broncos. Nothing came to fruition. I guess he had a conversation with David Tepper. David Tepper and Harbaugh, I do not think, would mesh. But nothing came out of it. So that was back-to-back off seasons where he flirted with the NFL. After the previous offseason, he said, oh, I didn't get the Vikings job. This won't be a yearly thing. I'm a Michigan man. I'm here to stay for Michigan. And now, depending on what reports you believe, let's just say that report by the Wolverine is accurate, that, okay, it's about $11 million in annual salary, and all it precludes him from doing is interviewing for an NFL job this offseason. Does that really sound like a guy that wants to stay? Does that sound like someone that is fully intending on being the Michigan coach for the duration of that contract? Doesn't sound like that way to me. And I'm not questioning Jim Harbaugh's love for Michigan. He played at Michigan. He coaches Michigan. He loves Michigan. But he's also not a dummy. And right now, Jim Harbaugh, who wants to fight, Jim Harbaugh, who doesn't like to lie down, and Jim Harbaugh, who wants to do things his way, is most likely going to be out a significant amount of next season. Because, sure, he served a 3-game suspension from the Big Ten. You know the NCAA is going to want to add on, fair or not, behind this jackassery of the sign-stealing scandal. But then there was also a pending issue with some recruiting violations that took place during COVID, where if you recall, Michigan self-imposed a 3-game suspension on Jim Harbaugh. They thought that was going to go away before the start of the season. There was going to be an agreement. And then that was a self-imposed suspension because the infractions committee and Jim Harbaugh couldn't come to a compromise because they wanted Jim Harbaugh to genuflect. They wanted Jim Harbaugh to say that he was wrong, he lied, and they wanted him to take it on the chin. So now you have the NCAA creating a pattern with Harbaugh, linked to Harbaugh, where they're annoyed at him, and there's going to be some extra suspension. Now, Harbaugh could go about this two ways. One, he could say, I don't give a bleep what the NCAA says. The NCAA, I just had to sit out 3 games from the Big Ten, and guess what? My team beat Penn State without me. They beat Maryland, and they beat the Ohio State, and I walked right back in. So maybe he just doesn't care. Or he may look at this and say, you know what? The lawyers told me to sit down with the Big Ten and that pending a litigious situation when everyone thought he was going to get granted an injunction, and he didn't. So maybe I will change my approach if I'm staying at Michigan and just take whatever punitive action there is or work together with the NCAA to come to some compromise. But when I hear that and when I say that, there's like a little voice that goes off in my head and says, and that's not the way that Jim Harbaugh operates. And also, he keeps on dipping his toe into the NFL waters, but no NFL team since the 49ers has offered him a contract and has said, we want you to be an NFL head coach. So when I go through this and I look at the decision by Harbaugh, if you go back to Michigan, you are banking on the NCAA doing the right thing and the NCAA not crucifying you and crushing you with the suspension. And say what you want about Harbaugh, whatever you say about Harbaugh, I don't trust the NCAA at all. So you have now, as a coach for Jim Harbaugh, have won the Big Ten three times. You have now kicked the crap at Ohio State and have won back that rivalry. And now Ryan Day is shaking in his boots. Yes, as a competitor, you want to keep that foot on the gas pedal and you want to keep on riding through college football. But it's clear, even when that should be what he's doing, he keeps on having the NFL on his mind. Because even though he hasn't won a national championship at Michigan, he has restored Michigan football. And as the competitor that Jim Harbaugh is, it's probably eating at him that he had a contentious relationship with Trent Baalke in San Francisco. They had a team, a lot of it because of Harbaugh's coaching, that in 4 years, they got to the Final Four three times, and they got to the Final Two in the Super Bowl one time, which, oh yeah, by the way, he lost that Super Bowl in an epic Super Bowl where it looked like the Ravens were going to win big, and then the 49ers, after the blackout, made this great comeback, and then they lose the game. He lost that game to his brother. So I keep on looking at the question of, is Harbaugh making the right decision? And let's say he accepts this this new contract and it precludes him from going to the NFL this offseason. I just don't think he's making the right decision. Because the last 2 years, whatever the reasons are, he was not given an offer. But this year, we could have upwards to like 10, 11 jobs open up. And some pretty damn good jobs. You know, Buffalo maybe open up. If Buffalo doesn't open up, the Chargers will open up. So do you want to go through this fight and this battle with the NCAA where they are going to hit you with the suspension, I don't know how long, or would you rather walk into an NFL locker room in, let's say, Los Angeles, where you have Justin Herbert, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Quinnen Johnston, Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, Derwin James, and you have a team that is looking for a coach to save this group because Brandon Staley has been so incompetent as an NFL head coach. And oh yeah, by the way, you don't have to deal with recruiting. You don't have to deal with NIL. And you don't have to deal with the pettiness of the NCAA. So as much as I would respect Harbaugh giving that middle finger to the NCAA, and saying, I'm going to stay here, whether you like it or not, and be the head coach of Michigan, I think it's the wrong decision when there's a ton of attractive jobs out there in the NFL, and you have proven that you are a damn good NFL head coach. Why stay at Michigan? Why go through this ringer that the NCAA is going to put you through because they're still mad that you didn't take it on the chin and you didn't bow down to them, and you didn't say, yeah, I committed these infractions. And now there's another scandal going out there. The NCAA doesn't usually operate in what's right or wrong. They sweep a lot of things under the rug. They operate on if you cooperate with them. And also, I don't know how long this process is going to take, too. So you may skate free from one, but then they'll come back for the other. So why go through that mess? Why keep yourself in that situation? And maybe there's $11 million a year why you would stay there. But the NFL money's going to be there. And the lifestyle's better. And you don't have to deal with all this other crap that you have to do if you stay at Michigan with the NCAA.
How much do you think the result of this year's playoffs factor into Harbaugh's decision? Like, if he wins the national title, more or less likely to go. If he goes one and done against Alabama, more or less likely to go. How do you think the playoffs, if at all, impact his decision?
I would say, now, we also have to factor in, does he sign this before that, number one? And number two, is that clause in there that he can't take a job in the NFL this offseason? So let's just say he signs a new deal, or he punts this decision until after the playoff. I think he wins a national championship, he leaves. I think if he doesn't win a national championship, it makes him more of the mindset of let me try again, but I don't think it fully prevents him from leaving, because maybe he feels internally, hey, I restored my alma mater. I brought them back. You know, I beat Ohio State three times. I've won three straight Big Ten championships, and it also only gets harder from here. Because if I can't win a playoff with no Georgia in it this year, and also on the number one seed, and I get it, Alabama's not your traditional number four seed, but the number of teams in the playoff only goes up after here. It's going to be tougher to win the playoff from here on out. And also, I'm not saying that they struggle in recruiting, but you have this core that you really developed where a lot of those guys came back in for one last stand, and then he left. So long answer short, I think it's easier to leave if you win it all. I do think you may have that feeling of being close if you get to a national championship this year and then go down. But ultimately, I just weigh the positives and the negatives. And with that dark, ominous cloud of the NCAA, Sam, they're still standing in the way and not knowing how they're going to rain on your parade. I just take the easier lifestyle and an opportunity that you know you're not going to have to put up with all this bull junk. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a break. When we come on back, lots of pressure on the Buffalo Bills this weekend and Josh Allen. What's the future of the Bills moving forward? And we'll also sprinkle in two other QBs as well that are under pressure this weekend. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
When things feel a bit chaotic, Instacart helps deliver milk and sausage. Add a little life to your cart. Get stuff from literally all your stores, from baby wipes to albacore. Add a little life to your cart. Instacart helps get your groceries. Your first three deliveries are free.
Download Instacart. Add life to cart. Terms apply.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
I'm Snoop Dogg, and I'm giving up smoke. I know what you're thinking. Snoop, smoke is kind of your whole thing. But I'm done with it. I'm done with the coughing and my clothes smelling all funky. I'm going smokeless. Solo Stove Fix 5. They took out the smoke. Now you can have a nice blaze without any clouds ruining your day. Go smokeless. Go to solostove.com. Tell them Big Snoop Dogg sent you.
Ah, the satisfying sounds of more sales in your business. And from the sound of it, your business is growing. But you shouldn't have to pay more to scale your business. With Stamps.com, you can import orders from wherever you sell online, find the lowest rates with the fastest delivery times, and instantly deliver tracking updates to your customers and stock up on supplies. Get started at Stamps.com today with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You could stream the NFL on Westwood One for free. Sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on the Odyssey app. Get in the zone, AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Restrictions apply. Major weekend for Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. The season is on life support. I am not optimistic that they are going to make the playoffs. With that being said, I love the Buffalo Bills this week. And the reason why I love the Buffalo Bills this week is every Tom, Dick, and Harry is going to give you this analysis.
Oh, well, Kansas City lost last week. There is no way Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs are going to lose back-to-back games. Not going to happen. And they're at home.
That makes me say, everyone's counting out Buffalo. I love the Bills this week. They're only plus 102 on the money line, and they're a 1.5-point dog. I think this is a monster performance by Josh Allen. And what gets lost in Josh Allen's play up against the Eagles before they got into that bye week, and now they're going to play Kansas City, is that he played a really good game in a tough place to play in Philadelphia. And all we'll do is look back at the interception, and we'll also look at the last play on offense where he had Gabe Davis wide open, and either Gabe Davis ran the wrong route or Josh Allen was not on the same page with Gabe Davis and threw the ball the wrong way. But Allen in that game, because this is what we do, we kind of evaluate quarterbacks on only wins and losses. And if they win, right, you get all the praise in the world and they can play sloppy. But if they lose, oh, it's all in the quarterback. Like, I look back at that game, Josh Allen played a damn good football game. And now, like, a lot of people are saying, oh, how good is Josh Allen? Josh Allen's still a top four quarterback in the NFL. Like, the four best quarterbacks in football, when everyone's healthy, you have Mahomes, you have Burrow, you have Josh Allen, and it's Jalen Hurts. And probably, you know, you have Rodgers still when he's healthy, too. Let's not forget about him in the top five. But no one's going to give the Bills a chance this week. Everyone's going to be on Kansas City. And even though the Bills, I think, win this week, I just still don't know what to make of them for the rest of the season, because it would kind of fit the mold of Buffalo, where they win a game that no one's going to pick them to win, and then the rest of the season they disappoint. Because that's been the problem with Buffalo. They've never been able to hit that rhythm this year. Like, even when they had a three-game win streak, you beat the Raiders and the Commanders, so what? And then had a dominant performance up against Miami. But this has really been a seesaw ride of the season where you lose to the Jets, you win three in a row, then you lose to Jacksonville. Okay, you beat the Giants, you lose to the Patriots, then you beat Tampa Bay. Up, you lose back-to-back games, Cincinnati and Denver. Then you beat the Jets, and then you lose to the Eagles in overtime. There's been no consistency here. And these next two games, like, I'll say it right now, I think they beat Kansas City this week, and then the following week they lose to the Dallas Cowboys. That's just the way that this Bills season has gone, where whenever you think they're starting to figure it out, they go the other way. So this year for Buffalo, I think we have to ask two questions. Is this just one year where they've been so close and then they don't have the bounces go their way and they're just not finding a way to get it done this year? Or is this a long-term concern for the Buffalo Bills? And I always want to say that the team's going to have a chance with Josh Allen as your quarterback. So take Allen out of the equation. I believe in Josh Allen. Josh Allen's going nowhere. He's a stud. He's unbelievable. And yes, there's sometimes he has too many turnovers, but he's there for the long term, and they pay him a lucrative salary. But it's everyone else. Like, on defense, you're going to have Tre'Davious White coming off another injury. Matt Milano, who's the leader of that defense, coming off an injury. I don't even know what's going to happen with Von Miller. You know, he has not got back into good form on the field this year, coming off a major injury. And now he has a pending situation where the allegations against Von Miller are extremely ugly and extremely nasty. So defensively, with maybe McDermott coming back or not, McDermott taking the reins of the defense. I know we had Leslie Frazier on a few weeks ago. It seems like he would love to coach again. Maybe they bring back Leslie Frazier. So defensively, there's a lot of questions in an offensive league where their defense, even though they've been number one at times the last few years, they have not got the job done in the big moments. And then offensively, this is a fair question to ask, and it's one that is going to be hanging over the Bills' heads for a while, even when he shows like signs of being a good teammate. But then there's other moments where it looks like he's not happy. And you have your brother, Trayvon Diggs, tweeting out, like, oh, you got to get Josh Allen out of Buffalo after that loss to the Broncos. Will Stephon Diggs request a trade this offseason? And Steph Diggs could put on this front, like, everything's good. He loves Buffalo. He loves his teammates and all that. We have seen a divorce before with Stephon Diggs and another organization. It was the Minnesota Vikings that landed him in Buffalo. So I really have three questions with the Bills this offseason. And this will determine if this year was just an anomaly, because I don't think they're making the playoffs this year. And even if they make the playoffs, I just don't believe that they're going to get hot at the right time and that they're going to find a way, because they won't be a divisional winner. They won't have the number one seed. So you're going to have to win three games, wild card weekend, divisional round, and conference championship weekend, to get to that big Super Bowl in Las Vegas, take home the Lombardi Trophy. So I just don't believe in this team this year. But what questions the long-term success of this franchise will be off three things this year. Number one, is McDermott back? Because I believe that Sean McDermott has reached his apex in Buffalo. Number two, will Stephon Diggs be on this team next year? And then also number three, what improvements are you going to make to the defensive side of the ball? And depending on how those three answers come to us, we'll determine if this year was just a one-off or if this will continue a time from where we thought Buffalo was going to be that team. We thought Buffalo was going to be all that. And then it starts to slowly trend in the wrong direction. And then you're in that state of NFL mediocrity where, yeah, you could go win 10, 11 games, but you're not really a threat. You have a great quarterback, but you don't have the rest around him that's ready to go. And I think they also have to figure out their offensive identity too. Because they keep on saying you want Josh Allen to do less. And in the big moments, you're asking Josh Allen to do the most when you have a little adversity. And whether it's been Devin Moeder, Singletary, or then you now bring in James Cook, there has not been consistency at that running back position where you give the ball, you give the rock to a running back, and you take some of the food off the plate of Josh Allen. But with all those things being said, and even though there's a long-term concern with the Buffalo Bills, I love the Bills this weekend up against the Chiefs. So I think there's an enormous amount of pressure on Josh Allen to do well. You win this game, some people will think, okay, maybe they're starting to move back in the right direction. You lose this game, and you fall below 500. Man, like Cincinnati at least has the scapegoat. And I know the Bengals are just coming off a win against the Jaguars. You go up, our quarterback, Joe Burrow, got hurt. But Buffalo doesn't make the playoffs this year. Outside of the injury to Rodgers, the Buffalo Bills have to be the most disappointing team and the disappointing story in the NFL. Now, two other quarterbacks that I think are on tremendous amount of pressure this week. Dak Prescott, you don't win this game this week, and you don't get a victory up against Philadelphia, everyone's take on Monday is going to be this. We got fooled by the Cowboys. Now, I know I won't be fooled by the Cowboys because I've been telling you since the start of the season, they'll win 11, 12, 13 games. They'll get a wild card spot. But in the big games, they're going to choke and they're not going to perform well. All right, you get blown out against the 49ers. Everyone has been getting blown out by the 49ers. That's one thing. But then the Cowboy fan has really taken a moral victory lap over that performance in Philadelphia up against the Eagles because you knew you would see them again and because Dak played well in the game, but they still lost the game. So this is a week for Dak. You could have good stats. You could have prodigious stats, but you got to go get the W. And I don't think the Cowboys get the W. I think this is a close game. I think this is going to be a fun game to watch. But Philadelphia getting blown out by the 49ers. Now people starting to question them. I think this is a tough landing spot for the Cowboys to be sitting there and seeing this Eagles team and a PO'd Eagles team that's now getting questioned coming into town at Jerry's World. And then also, I do not like the Seahawks this week. You know, Ross Tucker said it yesterday. It's the only argument to make for Seattle that maybe it's a letdown for the 49ers. Because of that, how much emotion and how much attention there was in that Eagles game where they just dominated the Philadelphia Eagles. But the more and more I look at the Seahawks, and don't get me wrong, Geno Smith, he played well in a loss up against Dallas. But you see the talent this team has with Tyler Lockett, who's one of the more underrated wide receivers in the league. DK Metcalf, who is just an athletic freak. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who is my favorite receiver in this past NFL draft class. And now he's starting to find a little momentum with that performance last week up against the Dallas Cowboys. Like, you have three tremendous wide receivers. You got two young running backs in Charbonnet and Kenneth Walker that you just drafted in back-to-back years. And you have a young secondary with Woolen and Witherspoon as well that you're starting to see the Seahawks team get back to a really competitive level where even though the record 6-6 last year, they made the playoffs. And then this year, they've kind of been like Buffalo, where no one thought Seattle was elite. Like, people thought the Bills were elite. But Seattle has kind of been up and down this year as well, and they're in jeopardy of falling a game below 500. And even though I think Geno is solid, I don't think you take that next step with Geno Smith. And you look around the league, I don't know who's going to be available this offseason. It's not like you just move on from Geno to move on from Geno. They just gave him a new contract. But if a name becomes available, and we've seen a lot of quarterbacks get traded throughout the last few years, or leave a team via free agency, I don't think you totally dismiss it just because you gave him a new contract. And Seattle would definitely be attractive. You got a heck of a coach in Pete Carroll. You got three really good weapons. You got two young running backs. And you got a young, up-and-coming secondary where they're trying to bring that Legion of Boom back to Seattle. All righty, this is Zach Gelb's show on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a break when we come on back. It is a Thursday, so it's time for a Zach Gelb Show PSA when we return in 5 minutes. Update time first. Here he is, the Act Man, Rich Ackerman.
Hey, cat-loving couples. Dreaming of a proposal that includes your furry feline? Head on over to FelixPerfectProposal.com for a shot at winning over $4,000 for your dream ring and a special treat for your feline accomplice. Your engagement, your way. Let's make it happen together. Visit Felix, P-U-R-R-F-E-C-T, Proposal.com to enter today. This contest is not being run in connection with the solicitation of or the marketing of an insurance product.
Make it the best-sounding holiday season ever with immersive high-res audio from the SVS Prime Wireless Pro-powered speakers featuring DTS Play-Fi technology. Feel the visceral dynamics, deep bass, and pristine clarity of all your favorite music and holiday classics. Stream lossless audio over Wi-Fi throughout your home and control it all from your smartphone with ease. Visit svsound.com to learn more. DTS.
Dedicated to sensational.
Selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
As easy as pie?
Sure. All you have to do is enter your license plate or VIN.
As easy as a stroll in the park.
Okay, then just answer a few questions and you'll get a real offer in seconds.
As easy as singing!
Why not? Schedule a pickup or drop-off and Carvana will pay you that amount right on the spot.
As easy as playing guitar.
Actually, I find that kind of difficult. But selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
Can be.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get an instant offer today.
Today's memorable moment is sponsored by Prevagen. Prevagen is the most recommended memory support brand by pharmacists. The last time the Steelers and Patriots squared off was in week two of the 2022 season. New England won by a score of 17-14 behind 252 passing yards and a touchdown by Mac Jones, along with 124 rushing yards, courtesy of Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson. Mitchell Trubisky, sometimes called Mitchell Trubusky, started for the Steelers and completed 21 of 33 passes for 168 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. And the Pats, who are the Steelers' daddy, they lead the all-time series 18-16. Let's hope that's 18-17 after tonight, because we are all aboard, choo-choo, the Patriots tank train. And I have been on that train since week three of the NFL season. So let's continue to tank, 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 tank. It's kind of pathetic what my football fandom has turned into.
You sound like me.
I'm sorry, Stu. You're right. I understand your misery. Now, a little difference is I got six championships with it. But I have no interest in this game tonight. I think this is going to be an ugly, low-scoring game. We'll do a little bit more on this later on in the show. But I want my team to lose. And that's such a weird feeling when you go into a game and you sit on your couch and you watch and you want nothing to do with the victory because it would be an empty victory and it would lead to just future disappointment and future problems because you want the best draft pick available to hopefully get that franchise-altering player. So that's the way that I look at it. Now, all I ask, and I've been pretty good this year. Let me just talk to God here for a second. God.
Yes.
Wow, I didn't know God was going to join us here on CBS Sports Radio. I thought you'd have a little deeper voice, God, if I'm being honest with you.
But, sorry, I was drinking.
Guess you were enjoying the company holiday party. But, God, whoever the Patriots take with the number one or number two overall pick, and I'm assuming it's going to be a quarterback, just please have that guy be good. I'm not even saying great. I'm not saying all-time great. But I don't think I could deal with being like every other NFL losing team for all those years, where you get rid of one guy, and that was the guy that was the greatest quarterback of all time, and then I have to deal with, like, Mac Jones, and then Bailey Zappi, and then some other bust, and then you're drafting a new team, or a new quarterback, and a new bringing a new coach a few years after that. just let's be like the Texans. You get the head coaching hire right, you get the quarterback right, and then we'll away we go on that one. Santer's playing a small violin for me. I thought you were God.
I was. I still am, you know, looking down upon you. I mean, talk to me when Brooks Bollinger and Mark Sanchez and Kellen Clemens, Greg McElroy, Geno Smith, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Bryce Petty.
Hey, you have the Sanchez.
Josh McCown, Sam Darnold, Luke Falk, Trevor Siemian, Joe Flacco, Zach Wilson, Mike White.
Sure.
You know what? You had Tom Brady for 20 years.
Yeah.
You deserve 20 years of crap.
Yeah, but like, if I get 20 years of crap, I'm not going to be bolting the bandwagon and going somewhere else like some fraud that I'm
looking
at right now.
Wait 20 years and tell me 20 years from now when you have Mac Jones and crap and crap and crap and crap.
But here's the thing, though. Like, you should actually feel bad for me. And here's why.
Nope.
I'm actually a victim here. Because no matter what happens the rest of my football fandom, nothing will come close to topping the last 20 years. And therefore, I'm never going to be able to experience joy again. Like, even if they win a Super Bowl, I'm going to sit back and go, oh, it's not the dynasty. It's not the greatest coach. It's not the greatest quarterback of all time.
No, you're wrong. As a Yankee fan who saw four championships in, what, 5 years, 6 years, when you go a long period without a title and you win
baseball.
It again. No, but it's sports. It's your team.
Baseball, though.
But it's your team, right? The Yankees were always my team, more so than the Jets.
It's not the number one sport.
But it was my number one sport.
Okay.
So it was my biggest passion, right? And so at the end of the day, when you go through a dynasty, when there's a lull, that one title that breaks that lull means just as much as the seven others that you had before then.
By the way, I have to defend you here. Totally shifting gears here. The people in the chat are just not nice to you. They're like, you look like a doofus. You look homeless. Like, it's one thing when I joke and say those things.
Well, hold on a second. Yeah, they're getting this all from you.
But everyone's crying. I actually feel bad for you. You know, like, I always make this relationship with myself and the producer. And I said this when I would used to, like, lambaste Hickey all the time. Like, I view the producer as my brother. Like, it is fine if I go back and forth with my brother. But then once someone else jumps in and tries to throw haymakers, I get very territorial. So, like, let's knock it off with Moist Mike in the YouTube chat where people are, like, saying he looks like a doofus. You know, I say homeless, okay. A doofus, I don't like.
You know what? They can say whatever the hell they want to about me. The guys in the chat can call me the M word, M as in Michael, or that other word that I don't want to say that you call me all the time.
Moist.
M, I have to specify.
Yeah.
They can call me that
word.
From they can
that
call me
forward.
A hobo. They can call me whatever they want to call me. Yeah. I have no issues with it whatsoever because at the end of the day, they wish they were me. They wish they were here. They wish they were able to dress like me in this seat, on this camera, across from you. So you know what? Like, they can say whatever they want. It's all jealousy. Guys in the chat, I love you, but you know, come on. Come up with something better.
Wow. See, here's the thing. You defend Samter, and then you let him speak, and then he just, like, does it to himself. Right?
You don't need to defend me. I'm a big boy. I mean, I'm a small boy, but I'm a big boy.
All righty, let's get to a Thursday Zach Gelb Show PSA. Warning. Warning.
Warning. Warning. It's a Thursday. What do you have to say? It's the weekly Zach Gelb Show PSA.
Who's with me? Let's go! Come on!
Alrighty, so it's a company holiday season. And I was actually very impressed with our company holiday last night. They had a nice little charcuterie spread. They had a nice little mac and cheese station, a taco station, pulled pork, pulled chicken. They had some penne alla vodka as well. They had some drinks. And I wasn't planning on staying as long as I did. And I didn't have a drink at the start of the company holiday party in this building. But then the company also rented out a bar afterwards, a block up from the studios. So I said, you know what? Let me go to the company holiday party. I'll go to the first party, then to the second party, then I'll go home. At the company holiday party, I had a few drinks. Did not have too many drinks. So that is number one. Don't have too many drinks at the company holiday party because you don't want to be the talk of the office the next day. Number two, my other PSA for company holiday party etiquette. Make sure you rub elbows and you got to kiss up a little bit and talk to the bosses that are there. It will only help you because they see you in a social setting. And I think it also eases some future conversations. And then finally, If you are going up to someone at the company holiday party, don't talk to that person way too long. You don't want to be the person at your company holiday party that corners someone and there's nowhere to go and it turns into a 40-minute conversation. No one wants to talk to their coworkers for 40 freaking minutes. All right? So just make sure. Like, you know, I am a talk show host. You have a bunch of other people at the company holiday party. You know, I walk into the company holiday party and I was the only talent that was there. The only talk show host that was there. So a lot of people want to talk to you. Keep it moving at all company holiday parties. 5 minutes. And then when you make like your eighth joke that isn't funny, some internal clock should go off. Keep it moving. So there is my PSA on some company holiday party etiquette that can make you look good in the office the next day. Samter, what do you got?
All right, well, I'm going to go to the world of golf because I know we do a lot of golf on this show. And I
love golf.
I honestly don't care much about golf. I don't play golf. I don't really watch golf all that much except, you know, Tiger at his peak. But John Rahm this week or today signed on with LIV.
Okay.
Right? $300 million. No one's going to begrudge a guy for signing away $300 million over 3 years and an ownership stake. No one's going to begrudge him unless you say things like this in the past. The only appeal I see is monetary, right? There's a lot more to be able to play for besides just money on the PGA Tour. There's history. There's legacy. I've never played the game of golf for monetary reasons. I play for the love of the game.
Liar.
I want to play against the best in the world. I laugh when people rumor me with LIV Golf. I've never liked that format. You know what? Here's my PSA. No one's going to care if you take the money, whether it's coaches or players or John Rahm and LIV. But don't knock it and knock it and knock it and then just become a giant hypocrite and then do the exact thing that you've been knocking.
Well, that's what the PGA did, though.
But it doesn't. Sure, PGA,
like,
too.
If this was a PSA that you had 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, I'd actually agree with it. But once you had that merger that occurred, everyone that took the money that got yelled at for taking the money was basically proven to be right. Now, I agree with you. Those guys at first should have just said, yeah, I don't agree with the Saudis and everything, but and their principles, but I'm just taking the money to take the money. And I think we would understand that instead they were trying to prove a point to the PGA. Personally, LIV, PGA now, it's all out the window once they had that merger.
So for me, for funding. I I'm going back to, I don't really care all that much about golf. For me, it's more about coaches who say I'm never leaving for the NFL.
Yeah.
And then a week later, they're in the NFL.
So your PSAs but don't lie.
Players who say I want to retire with so-and-so, and then 2 weeks later, they're demanding a trade. John Rahm, who says, I will never play in LIV. It's ridiculous. I don't like the format. I don't play this game for money. And then he takes the money.
Okay.
So my PSA is about lying, hypocrite sports figures, or just people in general. Yeah. Right? If you're going to do something,
like Nick Saban,
just don't knock something and then do it. If you're going to knock it, stand by your laurels, stand by your morals, stand by who you are as a human being, and stand up for yourself. Don't just, you know, cower back down and become a hypocrite.
Do you like
that
Nick Saban, by the way?
Huh?
You like Nick Saban, by the way?
Not really.
Okay. Oh, once said he was never going to be the coach of Alabama and then became the coach of Alabama.
I mean, like, I respect Nick Saban.
Yeah.
I don't really know.
All righty, Stuart, what do we got cooking today?
All right, mine is sports fans of their teams that believe they can acquire players from other teams without giving anything up. It's the classic sports radio caller who, oh, I want X and X two-star players from this team, and I want to offer them our eight worst prospects. I have a good friend who is a Yankees fan who is actually disappointed with the Juan Soto trade.
No, he's an idiot.
He's an idiot because, look, the Yankees didn't give up either of their three best prospects. They gave up a couple, you know, average guys.
They gave nothing, really.
They gave really nothing. And then, you know, it's just those people that think they can get the best of the best players for nothing. That's my PSA. Don't be that guy who calls the radio and says that.
Yeah. Oh, we don't want to give up Michael King. It's too much to get. Are you kidding me? Who gives a rat's ass if you give up Michael King? You have a generational player in Juan Soto. Stop. You're right. It's insufferable. And also, little quick PSA. All these loser Major League Baseball reporters that just tweet things. Oh, it's getting close. It's getting close. It's getting close. Tell me when the deal is done, too. Every year, one of these guys just tweet things that cover Major League Baseball, and all they do is say it's getting close, and then it goes to the other team. Like, it's amazing that Soto actually got traded to the Yankees yesterday because you saw close all throughout the day, and eventually it did happen. All righty, there's some Zach Gelb Show PSAs on this Thursday. When we come on back, Everyone kind of feels like Bill Belichick is done with the Patriots at the end of the season. What about Mike Tomlin? We discuss a little Patriots and Steelers next.
When things feel a bit chaotic, Instacart helps deliver milk and sausage. Add a little life to your cart. Get stuff from literally all your stores, from baby wipes to albacore. Add a little life to your cart. Instacart helps get your groceries. Your first three deliveries are free.
Download Instacart. Add life to cart. Terms apply.
Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
I'm Snoop Dogg, and I'm giving up smoke. I know what you're thinking. Snoop, smoke is kind of your whole thing. But I'm done with it. I'm done with the coughing and my clothes smelling all funky. I'm going smokeless. Solo Stove Fixed Fire. They took out the smoke. Now you can have a nice blaze without any clouds ruining your day. Go smokeless. Go to solostove.com. Tell them Big Snoop Dogg sent you. Ha, ha, ha.